this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Got a great blessing this morning to be able to share the word. My name is Jaco, and I was born in Pretoria, so it's great to be back. My family and I moved back to Pretoria a month ago, actually exactly a month ago today. We were living in the UK for 6 years, and what a blessing to be back. There's a lot of blessings that side as well, but especially this time of year, very happy to be here. And my children are still surprised that the sun shines every day. They're very pleased, and they say, "Papa, it's a nog 'n sonskyn dag." So yeah, we're very happy to be able to be here. And thanks so much for the way that you guys have received us. Thanks so much for all the invites and meals and just friendly just reception we've received. We appreciate it so much, and it's such a we've got such an expectation of just beginning to meet every one of you guys and just getting to know you guys and just growing together in Christ. Amen. It's really a blessing. So my wife Erna is at the back there busy with our three-month-old. Her name is Abigail. Her name is Emily, the smallest one. I wanted to start at the oldest one. The smallest one is Emily. She's actually, this week, she's 4 months. At least I got that one right. So then we have Abigail. She's 4 and a bit. She turns 5 in July. And David is turning 3 in September. Yeah, so they won't be here. You saw them earlier, some of them. As we get into the word, let's pray. God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for this precious time, Lord, and we commit this time and your word to you, God. Lord, our desire is not primarily even to fellowship together, although that is amazing, Father. Our desire this morning is to meet with you, Lord. And we are not here specifically or for any man's opinion, Father, but we are here and our desire, Lord, is to be changed by your power and by your word and by your presence, God, and to become more like Christ, to receive living water from you, Lord, and to receive life and revelation from your hand, Lord, in the name of Jesus. So we trust you for that. Holy Spirit, we welcome you as our teacher, God, and I commit, Lord, to you my words and the meditations of my heart, Lord, and so, Lord, our prayers that they will be pleasing to you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So this month, we've been looking at various things around who we are as a church. We've been looking at why we do what we do. We've been looking at our mandate and our values and how that translates into the things that we do in terms of discipling, in terms of seminars, in terms of so many things that we are busy with that actually have a very good reason why we're doing them. And so this morning, it's a great privilege for me to stand still a little bit at the heart of God for families. It's very apt. And what a blessing that we can celebrate that together. Let's read from Exodus chapter 3. There we go. I'm just going to do this for a moment. It's going to help. Exodus chapter 3 from verse 5. This is just a bit of context. This is where Moses has just seen the burning bush, and he's now coming close. And then God speaks to him from the burning bush, and he says, "Then he said, 'Do not draw near to this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground.' Moreover, he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." And now we see something very interesting here, and something we see a lot of in the Old Testament. We see God introducing himself to Moses in a very specific way. He introduces himself as the God of your father, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there's a very powerful thing that God is communicating here. He's saying, I am a multi-generational God. I have a heart for generations upon generations. I am the God of your father and of your ancestors. This is who I am. And what a blessing this morning. And we can look at generations here on stage and in amongst us here and recognize that God has a heart for generations. He's got a heart for multiple generations. And the amazing thing that we see also throughout Scripture is that the purposes and plans, the glorious purposes and plans of God, cannot be contained in one lifetime. As we grow in Christ, and as a young believer, I remember getting the revelation of God has a plan for my life. And it was amazing. God has a plan and a design. But as I grew in maturity, as I still am, I recognize that God's plan for my life is not so important as in terms of my life fitting into his plan. His plans and purposes are greater than just one generation. They span multiple generations, and they cover hundreds and thousands of generations and fathers and sons. If we look at the genealogies in Scripture, we sometimes feel like a bit boring. Why are they all there? But it speaks of that heart God has for generation upon generation upon generation. Amen. So that is the point where we're starting at. God has a heart for family. Isn't that a blessing? He's got a heart for family. Now, I've got news for us this morning. For some, maybe it will be news, but for those of you, you may know this, but once you become a believer, once you become born again, you immediately become a witness for Christ. Now, the bad news is that you can either be a bad witness or a good witness, all right? But unfortunately, the moment we're born again, we are witnesses for Christ and we represent him. Okay, don't worry, it's not all bad news. So to take it one step further, we look at how God has chosen to represent or to reflect something very specific. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, from 22 to 32. I'm going to read, just stick with me for a moment. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, some translations say glorious bride, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, that I speak concerning Christ and the church. This is a bit of a, it's just not heavy, but it's amazing that God, in his infinite wisdom and sovereignty, has decided to institute and to create the institution of marriage to reflect the union and the intimacy between Christ and his bride, Christ and the church. Think about that for a moment. That's probably the most important relationship, one of the most important relationships and unions in all of history, is the relationship between Christ and his bride. That is the one that God has chosen for marriage, to reflect that, to represent that. That's a sobering thought. Being blessed with an amazing family, it's sobering in a moment to think that we are representing Christ and his bride. We are the reflection of that intimacy and that relationship. Now, that in itself leaves me, you know, wanting to get on my knees and be so dependent upon God for my marriage and for my family. Amen? To recognize that God has chosen this institution to reflect Him in such a beautiful, powerful way. That is, and we're going to look at a few things, a few tools that we use as a body to equip ourselves for marriage, to prepare ourselves for marriage. We have marriage preparation courses. We have marriage enrichment that happens. We have a marriage mentoring that happens. But one might ask, why do we need all this marriage stuff? I'm going to say to you, because we reflect Him. Because we represent this very crucial aspect of the relationship of Christ and His bride. Now, it speaks here a little bit about the godly order in the marriage. Okay, now this is always something that can be spoken about at length. I don't have a lot of time this morning. We took some time to bless the children, so I'm going to rush through a few things this morning. But I just want to mention this, that there is a misconception about importance of roles in the marriage, about who's more important and who's sits at the head and all these things. But the key thing for me is here something, again, that the husband loves the wife as Christ loves the church. How does that happen? Christ dies for the church. Amen? Guys, let that sink in for a moment. There's no pressure. He lays down his life. Amen? Now, godly order in marriage, for me, I like the example of my wife bakes amazingly. That's why I have to wear a bit of loose shirts these days. But she's really talented in baking. And what I've recognized now, at one stage she was ill. I think she had morning sickness, and I had to bake something that she was supposed to bake, and she was giving me instructions. So I've learned quite a lot in my almost 10 years of marriage. You wouldn't have thought it, but I've done some baking myself. I know maybe I don't look like a baker, but I've turned out some really good things. What I've found is, unlike cooking, like I like a good barbecue, like a good braai, and there, or you know, you can, if you're cooking, you can throw things in as much as, you know, as you please, what to your taste. I mean, you can add more spice if you like more spice. You can not add or whatever, it's to your taste, right? Guys, just a tip for the guys that haven't baked. If you do baking, it doesn't work like that, okay? Not at all. It just goes pear-shaped if you go start getting too creative, all right, with the recipe. So for me, the roles in marriage are like the elements of a recipe. It's the core elements, for instance, of a cake or something. If you leave one out, or if you get the order wrong, it's not going to work. Amen? You have to get the order right. It doesn't mean that the eggs are more important than the flour, or the one thing is more important or more significant than the other element, the ingredients, but if you don't get the order right, it's not going to come out great. Are you with me? Same with marriage. It's not so much as to do with significance or importance as it is to do with, if we get the godly order right, it's going to be a blessing. Are you with me? Okay, tough crowd. We'll work on it. Amen. Don't worry, we'll get there. Okay, I can't spend too much time on that. All right, so the blessing here is that God is into marriage, guys. He's into marriage, and His blessing is upon marriage. Now, if you're a young person here this morning and you feel like marriage is the furthest thing from your mind, and you're already switching off and thinking about the rugby or something else, then I just want to say, pause for a moment and stay with us for this reason. Let's look at Proverbs 31, just for a moment. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of a husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil, from the day that they meet until she dies. No, wait. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. Amen? So the good news, if you are not far from getting married this morning, is that you right now can be do good and be faithful to your future partner right now. Isn't that a blessing? Right now you can decide, I want to be this kind of marriage partner. I want to be this kind of spouse that is, does good and not evil to my marriage partner, to my spouse, all the days of my life. Not only from when I meet them, but right now. In every friendship and relationship I have right now, I can be faithful husband or wife. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I'll speak a bit more on that this evening when we'll have some more unmarried people. But as an unmarried person or a person looking forward to marriage, or maybe I respect that maybe there's some that don't plan to get married, that's also fine. But if you are a young person this morning, you have two things. You have a very powerful thing. It is a weapon and it's also a gift. And this thing I'm talking about is purity. Purity is a gift from God. And this is a whole series on its own. But purity, especially in thought and in action, and specifically in terms of sexual purity, is something that is a gift that God gives us. And if we look after it and protect it, it's something that you can give to your spouse in a gloriously beautiful way when you get married. Amen? But it's also a weapon. It's a weapon when you minister to people, to minister to vulnerable people. It's a weapon in resisting the enemy when you have the purity that God has blessed you with intact and you protect it. And if it's not intact right where you're sitting right now, then I can tell you that God is able to restore. Amen. It's something you can trust for. We'll speak some more about that this evening. Now, the covenant of marriage has three parties. Some of you might have thought it's only two parties. But I've got great news. The covenant of marriage is husband and wife, and the third party of the covenant is Jesus Christ. And guys, if that is something I've clung onto in difficult times, it's so amazing to think that Christ Himself is in my marriage. And because of Christ and His presence in my marriage, it can be glorious. If it was just me and my wife, it would have been a different story. Are you with me? But because of the presence of God in our homes and in our marriages and in our relationship, because of Christ being the third party of the covenant, there's a power, there's a grace, there's an abundance of grace that is towards you and your marriage or your future marriage. Isn't that amazing? There's a grace that we can tap into. Now, just to clarify, grace, what I mean this morning is an undeserved favor that empowers us to be holy and godly. It's not a blank check to do what you want. Amen? It empowers us to be godly in our marriages and in life in general. That's what grace means. I mean, okay. Right, so I'm running through this quite quickly here, trying to watch the time. Okay, let's look at 1 Peter 3:7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them. This is with your wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. Now, Peter is a straight-talking guy, okay? And this is typical Peter. He's talking straight here. He's saying, guys, you do not want your prayers to be hindered. Are you with me? Guys, now's the time to say amen loudly. Amen? Okay. Men, we do not want our prayers to be hindered. And for some, you might be a bit confused now. Some might think this is new. You know, we talk about men being from Mars and women from Venus. Did I have that right way around? I don't know. We talk about how difficult it is to understand your spouse, but I have great news. It is possible, according to Scripture, it is possible to live with understanding with your spouse. Amen? But more importantly than that, this is great news for some. I can see some guys are awake now. This is a revelation. It is possible. But I've got great news, guys, that by the grace of God and by His presence in our lives, we can pursue understanding of our spouse. Amen? To a place where we will not have our prayers hindered. Amen? Where we can be together heirs of the grace of life. Together. In unity. Amen? That is the grace that God has for us. So there is a place where we pursue understanding of our spouse. And it's busy giving honor to the wife as the weaker vessel. This does not, again, talk about importance or significance. Think of it as you have a rugged clay pot representing the husband and a beautiful porcelain vase vessel, very bit more fragile, but just as capable, just as important, just as significant, but which has to receive honor and has to be handled in a specific way. Amen? So again, it speaks not of importance or significance, but it speaks of husbands having to be sensitive and aware of the role of the wife, his wife, and honoring her as the vessel that is used by God in a very specific and very powerful way. Guys, there have been times when my wife and I have not been in agreement. I know this is surprising. I know everybody here, you don't have that problem. But I'm just going to be honest with you that there will be times when we have disagreed. Sometimes very loudly. And problem in the UK is a lack of space. So when you disagree with your wife, just louder than a whisper, then everybody else knows about it in the neighborhood. But anyway, praise the Lord. We are now looking for a house in Pretoria with a bit more space. Amen. Not that I wish to disagree with my wife, because I do not want my... There we go. Praise the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Isn't that a blessing? But the amazing thing is there's grace for us to pursue understanding. There's grace for us to come in agreement. But what I wanted to say is that when my wife and I take hands and we pray and we come in agreement about something, things change. I can tell you crazy stories of different things. You know, I just remember one now. We were in the UK, we were in our little flat, and we had no money. I'm not exaggerating. There was a bit of a crisis, okay? And we had exhausted all our... I'm a bit of a schemer by nature, so I have to repent of that daily. So I've exhausted all the scheming, and we didn't have any plans, any backups, and we had a problem. And we sat down that evening. I remember it so clearly. We took hands. We didn't have children yet. And we prayed. I think we might have had communion together as well. But we took hands, and we prayed, and we came in agreement before God. And we just brought our needs before Him. But the power of that agreement that we have in marriage is something that I don't think we fully understand. And the Lord honors that. And in this case, Lord, it always happens in different ways. But this specific case, the next morning, there was an envelope under our door with 1,000 pounds in it. Now, 1,000 rands is maybe good for a petrol tank, but 1,000 pounds is a lot of money. And we just recognize that God will choose to respond to that blessing of unity and agreement amongst husband and wife in various ways. But that prayer, that power of that prayer of agreement is more powerful than you can imagine. Amen. Let's go on. Okay. So I've mentioned we do marriage preparation, we do marriage enrichment. The reason why we do this is so that we can come to a place of fullness of life in our marriages, okay? I don't have to dwell this morning. I don't have to dwell on challenges around marriage. I don't have to dwell on how things can go really pear-shaped. I think we all know marriages that have gone wrong. Amen. We can look at the statistics across our nation of divorce. I'm not going to dwell on that this morning. So what I want to say is, just as things can go very badly in a marriage and things can go wrong and children can get hurt and people get really hurt, if you look on the other side, when a marriage is godly, I'm not saying perfect, I'm saying godly. When you have a godly marriage, a godly family, there is the potential for powerful, powerful transformation right there. Just as things can go very badly, things can go very, very well when there's a godly marriage happening. Are you with me this morning? And I want to say to you, if we look at our nation and where we're at as a city, I am absolutely convinced that if we invest into marriages and families, every transformed marriage means there's a transformed family. Every transformed family means there's transformation happening in that community. Amen? If we want to see our nation transformed into a glorious nation that God has called us to be, the marriage and family is one place we must invest. Amen. So that is why we minister to families, guys. That is why we take time out for these things. So I want to encourage you, don't just treat it as another thing the church does. Invest, because we will see transformation in our city and in our nation in this. Amen. Okay, we're going. Right, so let's carry on. Let's look at Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, it doesn't say it gives parents sleep. Okay, just saying. Just a joke. So he gives his beloved sleep. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak with the enemy in the gate. Now, I just want to quickly illustrate something. If you can just give me a moment. I'll have to be quick on this. I need a volunteer and an apple. Is there anybody? Guys, I've been doing this for a while. It's a bit rusty, but can I have? Is there no volunteer? One of the interns, then. We pay them for stuff like this. Careful, guys. Just watch out. So this is an interesting picture that is painted there. It speaks of the children being like arrows in the hand of a warrior. Now, if you look at this arrow, you know, the plan is to... Where's the guy with the apple? All right, so this arrow has been shaped in a very specific way. I'll just put this down. I was going to shoot at something, but I thought there's a potential to do damage, you know, so we'll leave that. But I used to build these myself when I was a boy, and there's a whole process to it. You can make an arrow according to what it's going to do. In terms of, this is a target one, all right? So it's got a little, not very sharp point here. You can get a broad head with a very sharp blade, basically like razor kind of blade in the front or point that you can use for hunting. But you can design and shape and balance an arrow to do what you want it to do. And if you get it wrong, and if you get the fletches wrong at the back, there's a lot of detail that goes into this to make it go where you want it to go, guys. But there's one very key thing about this arrow. This arrow does not decide where it wants to go. Are you with me? The warrior decides, or the archer decides where the arrow must go. Now, parents, We have this thing, and my wife and I were also in a danger of this challenge, is we struggled to fall pregnant for a number of years. I will tell you the whole story another time. It is medically impossible for me to have children, but as you've seen, the Lord is not limited by those things. Amen. So we have been blessed with three children. We were told we were not able to have children by natural birth, but yet the Lord has blessed us. Amen. So in that time, there was a lot of prayer and fasting going on. A lot of, I'll tell you the story another time. But the challenge there was the moment we received the blessing, and this has happened with a lot of parents, is we receive a blessing. For some parents, it comes easier than others, but we receive a blessing from God. And somehow, the danger creeps in that the blessing becomes an idol. And we end up wanting to worship the blessing instead of the giver of the blessing. Can you see the problem there? We end up worshiping the blessing instead of the blessor. Now, if this arrow has to decide where it's going to go, it's just going to be random. But in the hands of a skilled archer, this arrow will find its target and find its destination where it is supposed to, where it's been shaped and molded, and through the grace of God, it will reach the place where it needs to go. Are you with me this morning? So I want to just briefly say, we're getting back to the order in a family. Parents, the worst thing that you can do is to have your life, the family life, revolve around your children. This might feel counterintuitive. This might feel wrong. This guy is preaching heresy. But it is my strong conviction and my desire that my children will grow up with the understanding and the conviction that life is about more than themselves. It's about more than us as a family. It's not about what they want or even about what I want. It is about the King and the kingdom that we serve. Amen. When we move back from the UK, guys, there's a lot of reasons why one would want to stay there. But when the Lord spoke to us, we could, with confidence and with conviction, share with our children, guys, God is calling us back to South Africa. This is what God is saying. There's a lot of, maybe later on they will ask us, but there's all these amazing things there. Why did we have to come back? But what a blessing that I can say to them, guys, we go where God calls us to go as a family. We have been called as a family to serve the purposes of God above everything else. That is the conviction I want my children to grow up with. Amen. Guys and parents and families this morning, there are ways we can communicate this to our children. If my children observe me organizing lots of other things for Sunday mornings, maybe we get to church once a month if we're lucky, that will communicate something very powerfully to them. It will communicate what is important to us as a family. Amen? But the other way around also works. If the children see that come rain or shine, whatever the case may be, we are in church on a Sunday morning, that communicates something very powerful to the child. That it is important for us as a family to worship God together. The same with small group. Guys, I'm not saying if you've been up awake all night and the whole family is sick and whatever, obviously there's graceful stuff like that. What we normally do is the less sick person takes the less sick child and they go to church. Amen? And the more sick people can stay at home. But there's graceful stuff like that. But I'm saying that there's a powerful message that we send to our children in how we prioritize the things of God. Philip preached a very powerful sermon on discipling children a couple of weeks ago, so I'm not going to go into the nitty-gritty. So I want to ask you, please go listen to that. Go download it. Go listen to that. It's been a great blessing to me personally as well. All right, I'm halfway. No, I'm kidding. Okay, I'm going to go quick. All right. God is into children. Let's quickly look at 1 Samuel, think I skipped something somewhere. Oh, no, it says here, Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, okay? I did miss something somewhere. Oh, Malachi. Sorry, guys. Can we go back to Malachi just very quickly? Very well done. Okay. But he did not make them one having a remnant. But did he not make them one having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. God is into children, guys. He's keen. He's blessed with children. He says they are a blessing from the Lord. Okay. And again, a warning there. Malachi is also a straight talker. Do not deal treacherously with the wife of your youth. Okay, ladies, you can thank me later for this one. Okay, I don't have time to stand still on that. But God, there's a few places in Scripture where God very clearly states His desire and what He wants. And this is one of them. God wants godly offspring. Hallelujah. He's on our side. Amen. He's with us. There is mega grace, an abundance of grace for us as parents to raise godly offspring. Guys, let me just be, can I confess something this morning? I am by no means a model parent, okay? I am by no means a perfect parent. My wife is much closer. But I have experienced the grace in this area. You know, there's times, obviously there's great joy in a family. My oldest, Abigail, when she heard the story of David and Goliath, she loved it. And then her brother came along, and his name is David, or David. All right, so now it's just amazing, you know. So the one morning, I found them in the bathroom. I think they both had nappies on at that stage. And David was just a few months old, so he was probably holding himself up. And Abby had a broom in her hands, or a broom stick or something. And she was standing like this over him. And she was saying, she was struggling with the pronunciation of Goliath. Okay, now, just bear with me. The Afrikaans is Goliath. But Abby was struggling with that. So she was saying, Goliath. Okay? So she was standing like this over David with this broomstick saying, Ek is Goliath. You know, and she was, I am Goliath, she was saying. And so there's lots of moments like that, you know, that bring such joy. But what blesses me is when you are pursuing a godly presence in your home, in what you do, in how you read Scripture together, and how you are planting into their lives, they are like little sponges. And it's amazing to see the grace upon us, guys. Abigail is 4, as you know. She started school in September in the UK. She's already done the basics of reading and writing. I know, when I was 4, I was playing in the mud behind the house, okay? So, but I was amazed to see the grace of God in our family as we just, even in those few months, interacted with the rest of the families. And Abby doesn't speak a lot yet. Depending on who you are, she speaks less. She's a little bit shy. She doesn't speak a lot of English, right? So taking all these things into consideration, the teacher says she's the most popular girl in class. Everybody wants to play with Abigail. There's a presence of God upon her life. And it's so humbling for us as parents, because we realize there's so little we have to do with that. There's a lot of grace, but there's a special presence and there's a special anointing upon her life. And she is such a little sunshine, you know, sun ray, but it's because of the grace of God. But what I want to say this morning is tap into that grace. Pursue it. Be on your knees for your family. Amen. If you know, the spiritual growth of your child is anything, is such a crucial thing, because we're going to launch this arrow in a very specific direction. Obviously, the grace of God is there, the wind of the Holy Spirit to correct the aim a little bit, but we're going to launch these children in the direction that they should go. Get into the Word with your children, guys. Get into prayer with your children. The other day, I was going up the stairs in our little house in the UK. We had a beautiful, big, 3-bedroom house. It was 70 square meters. And it was a lot of amazing space for us as a family. Anyway, so I was going up the stairs, and I hit my head properly, guys, like properly, and on the side of the wall there. And I was literally like on my knees on the stairs holding my head. It was quite a hard knock. And luckily, I wasn't knocked out, but that would have been embarrassing. But I was on the stairs there, and Abby was pressing her hand on my head. I was like, what are you doing? It's so sore. It's so painful. And she was kept on putting her hand. I was like, I'm just ducking. And then I realized she's laying hands on me. She wants to pray for healing. She didn't think twice. In fact, she didn't give me a chance to even recover. She just, she was laying hands on the sick. Hallelujah. Guys, she's prayed for me numerous times, and I've been instantly healed. She has no doubt, because it's what the Word says. The one day she was two, and a baby brother was a baby then. He was crawling a couple of months, and he had a cold, and we prayed for his cold, and I had her lay hands as well. And this is how they learn, because we do it. Amen. So we laid hands on him, we prayed for his cold, and out of the blue, with her little few words that she had, she added her own prayer. She prayed for a cold, and then she added, Lord, fix his legs that he can walk. Now, guys, can you give me a couple of minutes? Have you got a few minutes? I know we're going long. Give me another few minutes. Now, obviously, we laughed as well. But, guys, what was precious for me is that we had read in the Bible, we'd read about Jesus healing the lame man. And she made the connection. As a two-year-old, she's made the connection that if her brother can't walk, Jesus is the one that's going to heal him. Hallelujah. I laughed, but I was so blessed, guys, because she had made that connection. And it was challenging me, because she'd immediately, without thinking twice about how do you pray for a lame person, what is the procedure, she just said, Lord, heal him that he can walk. And the Lord answered her prayer. Hallelujah. Eh? Anyway, it took a few months. Okay. Guys, I can't go through all the other scriptures I have here. I'm going to quickly look at... There's an account in 1 Samuel where David... I'm just going to tell you quickly the context. So David and his men were off to war. They come back. The enemy has taken their families. Everything. They've been plundered. They got nothing. Their families have been taken captive. They come home to this situation, and the guys are upset. Not the right word here. They want to go and kill these guys, okay? You know how it goes. I thought I was a protective older brother until I had a little girl of my own. Any case, so we see this picture of these men of war, David the warrior king, the most successful warrior, the most powerful warrior in the history of the Bible. And he is now standing in front of this decision. What do we do now? What do we do? How do we go on? The men want to stone him. Guys, this is not a happy situation. Okay, the women and children, their wives and children could already be dead. This is the tense situation. And this warrior king, this is what he does well. He is a warrior. He makes war. He's good at this, right? But look at this amazing self-control and understanding of godly order. He goes aside, worships God, strengthens himself in the Lord, and then Scripture says... Scripture says he strengthens himself in the Lord, and then he inquires of the Lord, should we pursue these guys? Now some may think, what is he talking about? Of course you have to pursue them. Go and get your family. But this is the power of his submission to the will of God. Is that he quiets himself, he goes to the side, and he says, God, what should we do? Do you see this? And I'm going back to the order here. If we put our children above God, guys, it's going to be a mess. But if we have the understanding, revelation of the order of God, then we will position ourselves to receive the fullness of the blessing of God on our families. Amen. So I want to say, make it a priority to worship together as a family. Make it a priority to be at children's church, for your children to be at children's church. You will see the fruit, guys. Amen. The other day, no, this is a while ago, Abby just turned 3. Look, guys, David's stories are coming. Don't worry, okay? He's got a boldness that is a bit scary. So we will not talk about that this morning. But Abby, she was just turned 3, and she was at a birthday party in a park, outside birthday party, right? And we had done the story of Jesus speaking to the storm in the Bible a couple of times. And that afternoon, we went to the bathroom, we came out, the party was going, but it was raining. London, huh? Okay. It was raining. Abby was upset, guys. She was saying, "What is going on, Daddy? I don't like the rain." You know, and she was upset, "I don't like the rain." And I said to her, "But Abigail, what did Jesus say to the storm?" I don't know why I said that. I just came out. What did Jesus say to the storm? And she was small. She just turned 3. She stood still. She pointed up to the sky like this. And she said, "Stop." And I said to her, "Just say, in Jesus' name." Guys, it stopped immediately. I'm not joking. The rain stopped immediately. I was so surprised. Do you see what just happened? I was like, and she was this is what Jesus did, so this is what we do, you know. The children have a way of challenging us, I mean, to grow in our faith. See, we enjoyed the party and it rained later again. Amen. But I'm so humbled by the grace of God available towards us as parents to see our children grow up in a godly way. So I want to say to you, position yourself in small group. Position yourself in the foundations and the encounter courses that we do, the legacy seminar that's coming up. Position yourself to be able to leave a godly legacy. I mean, if you haven't done the legacy seminar, it's happening in April. Do not miss it. First time I did it, I thought, how can you go through life without this revelation? How can you be a parent without the various revelation from the Word? I mean, get there. If you have done it before, facilitate. Amen. Guys, in the UK, when we were doing set up together, I often took a church at 8 o'clock to start the setup, the sound setup. Often my oldest two were with me. Learning, this is what we do. We serve in church. We love it. It's fun. We have fun doing it. Amen. This is how they learn. Okay, I have to finish. Let's quickly read 1 Corinthians, the last one. 1 Corinthians 2. So there's a lot of cool stuff there in Timothy you can read later. Okay, let's read this. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. We love that scripture. We quote it a lot, and we stop right there. Amen. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man that is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. No, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Guys, there's amazing things that God has prepared for you and your family, for us as a family in Christ. But it's not a secret. God has not kept it from us. He wants us to know. He wants us to walk in the revelation of what it is he has prepared. And the way we do that, we pursue God. What have you got for me and my family? In the context of the body of Christ, where would you like us to serve this year? Where would you like me and my family, my children, would you like us to serve at the welcoming? Guys, I want to see families serving together. What a blessing. Generations recognizing that we are doing this together and we love it. It's what's important to us as a family, and the blessing of the Lord is upon it. Position yourself. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's Bible school, there's parenting courses, there's all these things, but position yourself to be the blessing as a parent that God has created you to be. Amen. Please stand with me this morning. Sorry that we've gone a bit late. I really appreciate your patience this morning. We've blessed those children. If some of the band can come up, that would really help as well. I want us to pray this morning. We're not going to pray too long. I know it's been a long service. I know some are looking forward to the refreshments, and it's going to be amazing, and we're going to have an amazing time of fellowship. But there's just one or two things that I feel very strongly that God wants us to pray for. So we're going to just do that very, very quickly. Okay. Amen. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Oh, Lord, we are humbled by your grace toward us, Lord. Lord, we recognize, Lord, that it's only by your presence in our lives and by your grace that we can, and your goodness, Lord, your goodness that abounds, that we can see such amazing families here. And we can celebrate, Lord, these amazing little children. We can know, Lord, that it's not of ourselves, God. It's not our striving and our working harder, but it's by the power of your Spirit in and through us that we can know that they're going to be blessed. God, this morning, we bring every family represented here before you. In Jesus' name. We bring every couple this morning. And as every eye is closed and as we pray, I just feel that there may be some couples here this morning that have been married for many more years than I have. And I honor you for that. But I feel that God has got grace this morning for maybe some marriages that there's a bit of tension, or maybe there's a lot of tension, or maybe there's a lot of hurt, and there's years of hurt already. But I feel this morning there's a grace. There's a grace, and there's a provision to bring it before God. Say, Lord, we are broken. We cannot do this on our own strength. We cannot do it on our own, Lord. We want to bring our marriage before you. And we want to walk in the fullness of your glorious grace upon our marriage, God. We humble ourselves. We humble ourselves before the Almighty God as a couple to receive your grace for us right now. Maybe there's some couples here that need to just take hands again for, maybe it's been a while, take hands and say, Lord, we trust you. If it wasn't for Christ as the third member of this covenant, Lord, where would we be? We trust you for the fullness of life that you have prepared for our family. Lord, and this morning, if some of us have started to have our lives revolve around what's comfortable and what's the desire of the children, and they kind of determine what happens, Lord, we want to repent in the name of Jesus. When our lives are revolving around what is comfortable for us or what's the lives of the children, Lord, it's just chaos that happens. In the short term, it's nice and it's comfortable, but long term, there's no life there. So we repent, Lord. Jesus. And we thank you for a reorganizing of priority, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for a heart's desire this morning to say, Lord, our lives as a family revolve around you, our King, and your body, the church, and your kingdom coming in and through us, Lord.
Thank Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.